To continue looking at parts of speech, again showing us the importance of every word. Again, every word has a place, every word has a job, a work to do. We looking at observing the details of Scripture. If you don't observe words, of course, you cannot possibly observe details. We began last week looking at adjectives, which, of course, describe a noun or a pronoun, or define a noun or pronoun, or even limit a noun or pronoun. So if we're looking for details, we want to notice these adjectives because they are descriptive words. They provide information about a noun, about a pronoun. And really what they do is they help us to create a picture in our minds. And the Word of God does a better job than any book ever written of creating a picture. And this, of course, is important when we're reading something, to be able to have a mental picture of what we're reading. And the Bible really doesn't leave a whole lot to the imagination, which is good, because our imagination will get us in trouble. So we just need to pay attention to the details. We saw last week that in most cases, certainly not all, the adjective will come before the noun, but we looked at several examples where that's not the case, where it comes after. But whether it comes before or after really doesn't matter to you and I. We just need to look for these describing words. And we looked at several examples of adjectives. Adjectives, of course, answer questions. We need to continually ask questions when we read. Adjectives answer the questions of what kind, which one, how many, how much. Adjectives answer those questions. And again, we looked at several examples. For example, John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." Only begotten, of course, describes Son, would be the adjectives. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting." That describes the next word, life, the kind of life that the individual will have. 1 Peter 1, verse 19, we read of the precious blood of Christ. Precious is the adjective. It describes the noun, which is blood. It's not just the blood of Jesus Christ, but it's precious blood. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, 1 John 2, verse 13. "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men." Young is the adjective describing men. "Because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children." Little is the adjective describing, again, the noun children. We read of ungodly lusts in Jude verse 18, again describing lusts. But adjectives also describe not only what kind, but they describe which one. Which one? In Genesis chapter 48, Genesis chapter 48, notice verse 13 and verse 14. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand. Hand is a noun. It's telling us which hand, which one. His right hand. We can picture that. We can picture Joseph taking his son into his right hand and toward Israel's left hand. So again, it describes which one. And Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand. Left, right are adjectives. They describe which one. And again, as you read those verses there, you get a picture in your mind of what is transpiring. The adjective also answers the question of how many. We see this all through the Word of God. Anytime you see a number spelled out, that's an adjective describing, answering the question, how many or how much. Notice in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 15. And of course, there is, I do believe you can go too far, but there is some truth also. There's some principles in the Word of God about numerology. And there are reasons that God gives us specific numbers. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 15, and we see this particularly in the directions of, or the instructions concerning the building of the tabernacle. We see these numbers all the time. And this is the fashion that thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. 300 is an adjective describing cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits. There the adjective follows. And we see again, 50 is describing cubits. And the height, 30, so you have 300, you have 50, you have 30. Revelation, you see numbers throughout Revelation, particularly the number 7. It describes how many. But adjectives also describe how much. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 says a little leaven. Tells us how much, just a little. A little leaven. We read in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, abundant grace. That describes again how much. And we read of abundant mercy in 1 Peter 5, verse 13. So nouns describe what kind, which one, how many, or adjectives, and how much. There are different kinds of adjectives. Again, we don't have to know the different types of adjectives, but we do need to recognize them when we see them. An adjective can be used to describe degrees of comparison. The Bible does this many times, describes degrees of comparison. There are basically three degrees. There's the positive, which simply expresses a quality without a comparison. The word great would be such a word. It expresses a quality. There's no comparison, but there's a quality. Notice in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, and he made two great lights. That expresses the quality of the light. talking about the sun and the moon. There's also comparative, which of course expresses a higher or lower degree. And any time the comparative is used, there will always be the suffix, excuse me, er, at the end of the word. Notice again in Genesis 1, verse 16, God made two great lights, just a positive statement, great being the adjective describing the lights. The greater, now there's a comparison, the greater, and that's the greater light, which of course is the sun. But again, he's making a comparison, and all you do is add er to the adjective great. There's also the superlative, and you add the suffix est. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, the greatest of these is love. Greatest is the adjective, and it is expressing the superlative. That is, there's nothing greater. There's nothing better. There's nothing to compare it to. We've said that adjectives describe, and they do. They describe many things. They give us a general description. They can give a very specific description, such as size, such as shape, age, color, nationality, material, describing the material of a noun, person, place, or thing. General descriptions, Deuteronomy 21, verse 11, we read, beautiful woman. Beautiful is an adjective describing the woman. That's a general description. There's no specific details, just beautiful woman. We see 1 Samuel chapter 1, and here would be an example of an adjective coming after the noun. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early. That's a general description. Morning is the noun, but we see early describes, but it's a general. It doesn't give us a specific time, but just a general description. Morning early. You can take the position, if you're so foolish to do so, I say that was 4 in the morning. Well, I say it was 5 in the morning. And you can argue back and forth. And it doesn't make any sense. He just gives us a general description. Morning early. We see in Jeremiah 5 and verse 30 of a wonderful and horrible thing. Two adjectives, wonderful and horrible. But those are general descriptions. Doesn't really describe, and those two words don't describe the wonder or the horror, just a general description. Luke 23, verse 11, we read of a gorgeous robe. Gorgeous, of course, describing the robe that they put upon Jesus Christ. Why didn't he just say a robe? Because he wanted us to understand that it was a gorgeous robe. And that, of course, was to add to the mockery of him, his claim to be a king. John 5, verse 3, around the pools of Bethesda, we see a great multitude. Great is the adjective describing the multitude. Why didn't he just say people? Because he wants us to understand there's a crowd. There's a large group of people. John chapter 12, verse 9, and also verse 12, he uses the phrase much people. Much is the adjective describing the people. Again, it gives us the idea that We don't know how many people were there, but it gives us the idea that there was a lot, much people. There are specific descriptions. The manna, for example, there in Exodus chapter 16, we are told in Exodus 16 and verse 14 that it was small. That it was small. That's not real specific, but it's somewhat specific. But he also gives us the shape. In Exodus 16, verse 14, he says it was round. That means it wasn't square. It wasn't oblong. It was round. Now, you and I can picture that. We know what round is. And it was small. It was round. We see in Exodus 16, verse 31, that it was white. So he's given us some specific descriptions of the manna. It was small, it was round, and it was white. Now we can picture that in our minds, just those simple, specific details. We read in Exodus 1, verse 19, an Egyptian woman. And we see this all through the Bible, that you have a nationality. That gives us specifics. That gives us specifics. An Egyptian woman, not just a woman, but he wanted us to understand an Egyptian woman. Then, of course, material. The material of a thing, what it's made of, is described all through the Scriptures. Again, when you get to the instructions for the tabernacle, we see this all through the material. In other words, it mattered. You couldn't just use anything you pleased. The material was important. Notice in the book of Numbers, chapter 7, verse 13, and his offering was one silver charger. That's not a car, by the way. That's a plate. One silver charger. Silver is not describing color either. It's describing material. A silver plate. The weight thereof was 130 shekels. One silver bowl. We have a silver plate. We have a silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour. Fine, of course, describing the flour. Fine flour mingled with the oil for a great offering. So in that verse, we have a silver charger or plate, we have a silver bowl, and we have fine flour. Silver and fine are the adjectives describing the plate, the bowl, the flour. You see those same words in verse 19, verse 25, verse 31, verse 37, verse 43, and all through Numbers chapter 7. But they're adjectives describing the material. You get to Revelation 1, verse 20, golden candlesticks. It's not talking about the color again, it's talking about the material of the candlesticks. So it's important. It's important in Numbers that it was silver. If it wasn't important, he wouldn't have said it was silver. Wouldn't have mattered. He would have just said a plate, a bowl, and flour. But it mattered. So he said it was a silver plate, a silver bowl, and the flour was fine. When you get to Revelation 1, verse 20, describing the churches of the Lord, he didn't just say a candlestick. He said it was a golden candlestick, so that's important. He's giving us the material. Revelation 19, verse 8, we read, fine linen. That describes the linen. It's important. He's describing the linen of the bride. And he says it's fine linen. And then there's some adjectives that follow the linen. Not only is it fine, but it's clean and white. Again, these are adjectives that describe the material. Then, of course, there are limiting adjectives. Again, we said an adjective describes. An adjective can also limit a noun. God sets a limit on a particular noun. So it limits a noun. There are three classes. They're also known as articles. And some people, it doesn't really matter, but some people take the articles and make them a part of speech. We put the articles in with the adjectives. The, a, and. Three articles. The, a, and. Those three words limit a noun. They are specific and they limit a noun. Good example would be John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. The is an adjective describing way. Or you can say it's the definite article. Doesn't matter. It defines way. And it limits way. If he didn't want to limit, he would have just said a. But he says the way. You can read through John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. You see the word the used several times. And then I believe it's in verse 7, you'll come across the word a, which is an indefinite article. It's not definite, it's indefinite. There are, again, numerical adjectives describing how many. Revelation 8, verse 1, seven angels. Seven trumpets. There's numerical adjectives describing order. These are very important. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. You go over to Revelation chapter 8 when he's describing the trumpets, and it's first, second, third, fourth, etc. There's an order. And any time we see first or second or third word like that, we know there's order. And if God mentions an order, that order is important. And it's important for us to keep those things in order. There are what is called pronominal adjectives. They somewhat like pronouns, but it would be like Acts chapter 1, verse 18, now this man. This is the adjective describing man, or each of them, Acts chapter 2, describing the day of Pentecost, each of them. We know what that means. It means all of them. But that's an adjective describing. So it's very important. Again, we don't have to know if it's pronominal adjective. We don't have to know that. But we do need to recognize them, that these are descriptive words. And we need to take time, we need to read slow enough to observe description. If you just read over, you may miss something. And we don't have to, there's no need for you and I to add description. God gives us very definite descriptive words, and we need to just pay attention to those words. So again, each word has a job. What's the job of an adjective? It describes, it limits, it defines. That's its job. And it always does its job. It always does its job. And it's always in the right place to do its job. And that's true of all words. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you so much that you've given us your word, that we have access, continual access to your word. Lord, we just pray that you would cause us each day to fall more and more in love with your precious word. Lord, we pray that you'd put your word in our hearts, that you would cause us, Lord, to realize the importance of reading your word correctly, of reading your word slowly, and meditating upon your word. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We pray now that we, as we worship you today, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to be able to meet with you this day. Lord, that you'd draw our hearts closer to thee. Cause us, Lord, to leave here more like thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.